You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
The most important thing where we're going to have to shift is in the U.S.-Pakistan relationship, and that was coming anyway to some extent. But I would welcome any kind of gradual weakening of al-Qaeda that occurred because of this, but I think it's going to be only evident after the fact, and we're not going to be able to base any policy on assuming it's occurred, at least not for quite some time. Whereas in the short term, we do have an issue of how do we mend this relationship with Pakistan.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, the U.S.-Pakistan relationship after bin Laden.
After the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound, U.S. officials want to know how the terrorist leader lived under the government's radar for years, not in a distant cave, but in a Pakistani suburb. Senior fellow Michael O'Hanlon examines the issue, noting that this is another challenge testing the long alliance between these two countries. Michael, now Pakistan now has a credibility issue to deal with as far as the U.S. goes. What they knew about Osama bin Laden living in their backyard. Is this a problem for our two countries?
We do have an issue of how do we mend this relationship with Pakistan. That's the area where we've had a number of additional problems in recent weeks. Obviously, the fact that they knew or should have known more about this suspicious character in one of their cities is going to be a problem for us to wrestle with. They're not going to be thrilled that we flew helicopters through their territory without telling them. They're not happy that we've done some drone strikes recently that killed some civilians, which we had gotten better at avoiding in recent years, but then apparently went a little too far. There have been these disputes between Admiral Mullen and General Kayani, and some of them becoming public. So that relationship is troubled, to say the least, and this latest set of developments is not going to help it. That's where the short-term adjustments need to happen, and they're more in the way of damage limitation than of building on any great success.
Well, whether or not Pakistan knew that Osama bin Laden was actually living right there in the country, very near to the capital city. What would be the profit in it for Pakistani officials to not assist the U.S. in pursuing him and capturing him?
Pakistan, I think, operates with multiple theories at the same time, and they are partially contradictory, but, you know, because none of them can be fully proven or disproven, they coexist. And one of the theories is they'd like to keep the Americans involved. And certainly to the extent we worry that al-Qaeda still has people in operations in Pakistan, it keeps us interested. And they also may not want to admit their own complicity in any way they might have sheltered him or tolerated him or tolerated his friends before. They might not have wanted us to interrogate him because perhaps he knew things about the location of Mullah Omar or Lashkar-e-Taiba or some of the other people and groups that Pakistan has helped, even if they never necessarily helped Osama bin Laden personally. So there are all sorts of reasons why Pakistan may have done this. And again, they sort of also like and hate being the center of attention. To the extent that al-Qaeda is seen as being nestled in their part of the woods, they resent it because it implies they're not able to control their own territory, but they also welcome it because it keeps our attention focused on them. And I think there are plenty of Pakistanis who are fed up with us, wish we would just get the heck out, and yet are also sort of half glad that we're fascinated by them, keep pouring money in, keep working with them, et cetera.
Again, there's a credibility issue. What can we do to mend fences between Pakistan and the U.S.?
Maybe one thing we can do is to try to talk about this overall success of getting bin Laden as a joint American-Pakistani accomplishment. Even if the Pakistanis themselves didn't help much the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and perhaps were even trying to make it harder for us in some ways, the initial intelligence leads that made this whole thing possible were only gained with Pakistani cooperation. And so I would suggest we try to use this as an opportunity to rethink our approach towards Pakistan, recognizing all the problems, but also to try to put a little bit of a positive spin on it, and to the extent we can say a partial thank you in public, that may be the best policy.
Well, let's take a look at how this plays out in other ways. And by that I mean this whole thing with Osama bin Laden being in Pakistan for these last couple of years. How does it play out in the relationship between the U.S., Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and then between Afghanistan and Pakistan?
On the U.S.-Afghan relationship, it means almost nothing because we never thought that bin Laden was on Afghan soil for the last, 8 or 9 years. And so whatever Karzai says by way of a press release or commentary on this doesn't really change the equation. But the Afghan-Pakistan relationship is interesting, and a lot's been happening within it, including in the last couple of weeks, Pakistan's top officials going over to Afghanistan and telling Karzai, why don't you try to deal more with us and less with those Americans, especially as you envision your long-term security situation. And that was, to some extent, a kind of bullying by the bigger country at the expense of the smaller one, and trying to play on Karzai's fears that we're not going to be successful or stalwart as his partners in Afghanistan. And so in that regard, I think, you know, the Pakistanis were trying to exploit the situation, and they will continue to try to do so. But, you know, we are going to have to think of how the Afghans and the Pakistanis and the Americans can all work together. Until the three are working together, I don't think we're going to have any great success. And that transcends this particular issue.
Michael, if with bin Laden's death, al-Qaeda moves its central command from Pakistan to Yemen, would that move impact how the United States then deals with Pakistan as well as how it deals with Yemen?
It's true that there's been a debate for a while. Is Yemen, for example, already more important somehow because of the role of al-Awlaki, who, of course, aspired Major Hassan and then the Christmas Day bomber in late 2009. However, I think that the bigger issue there is what happens to Yemen's politics. To the extent that Yemen turns into a failed state and, you know, a civil war resumes, there may be greater opportunities for al-Qaeda to put down deeper roots. At the moment, I think just because al-Awlaki has been lethal against Americans, you know, he's got, what, a dozen American lives on his hands, essentially. Bin Laden had thousands. And so the distinction was enormous. And Zawahiri is still presumably in Pakistan, and he, you know, shares that responsibility for thousands of American deaths. So I still think the central al-Qaeda organization, you know, is a little more important than the others. But again, as I mentioned earlier, al-Qaeda is primarily a diaspora or, you know, a network of a lot of local and country-specific operations, which you have to go after on their own terms, partly because of what they can do to us, but even more because of what they can do to their own countries, their own governments, their own peoples. And that's not going to change radically as a result of this. So, you know, some of the shift already had occurred. Some of the focus was already off bin Laden. Obviously, more of it will be now, but we got to keep focused on Zawahiri. And so I think you just got to view this as a multifaceted problem at all times.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.